Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hope you're all well, having a tremendous Thursday. A little rain. Well, I tell you what, like, part of me, I'm not going to lie, because I love the maintenance of a lawn. Like, it gives me a lot of joy to get the fertilizer mixture down right, do all the pH testing so you know exactly what your lawn needs and all that stuff. And so when we moved to this place in Bountiful, and I realized it would be cheaper just to have somebody do the fertilizer than do it myself, it kind of like, you know, it's like kind of hit you like, am I really doing my due diligence as a man by having somebody else come? And our buddy,
Charlie
came out and a few weeks ago, or no, a couple weeks ago. And with this rain hitting, I walked out this morning, and that is a perfect hue of green.
Is it
there.
Really?
I was like, oh, man.
You feeling good about life?
Looks real good.
Good for you, man. I know that yard. I know you put, was it 3 years ago that you?
Yeah, 3 years ago. Our boy Tommy.
Put in new landscaping?
A lot of, put in that back patio and did some all kinds of
stuff. A
lot
of retaining walls.
Yep.
So now you get to really enjoy it. Because last year, this time, your water was turned off.
Yeah.
We were having a really dry spring.
Oh, yeah, we had a dry spring, and there were some water issues with the irrigation water in Bountiful, and yeah, it never really came back, honestly.
You were like into June before
It was end of May before we got water.
Way too long.
Yeah. All right. Media availability for the University of Utah, getting close to wrapping up spring ball. Coming up on Saturday will be the spring game. But I know you and a bunch of others had a chance to chat with Lewis Powell earlier today.
Yeah, Coach Powell's great, man. And for those of you that don't know, the University of Utah has two D-line coaches. Lewis Powell's the more tenured coach. And in my opinion, Lewis Powell is the best defensive line coach in the state of Utah. He is an incredible recruiter, and he has done fantastic things with that defensive line over the years. And then Sione Pua works with the interior, and Lewis Powell's on the exterior. But it was great, Scotty, just being able to catch up with Lewis Powell. And I threw a couple questions at him, and I know that a couple of other media members threw questions at him, but this is him talking about his defensive line as they get ready for the spring game this Saturday.
What's D-line been throughout camp?
Man, it's been awesome. We had a format for our guys that with all the young guys that we have. I have a senior in our room with Max Tupai, but I got a bunch of underclassmen, sophomores and freshmen, and it's been awesome. They've been feeding them through a fire hose, and they've been getting a bunch of reps, and every single one of them has been getting better. And the good thing is not too many injuries this spring, but we're excited and I've been fired up to get these guys so many reps.
And then to follow up on that, you actually mentioned the youth. How deep is this team, especially when you factor in all the youth?
Man, in our group, we have a senior, we have one junior, and Mika Tafua, and then there's like five freshmen. And now these guys, I feel like they're not fresh. Obviously, they had an extra year last year, but their experience for being freshmen, and every single one of them has been getting force-fed a lot of reps. And I don't look at them as freshmen. And not only just getting a lot of reps, just kind of adopting our culture here on defense. And I don't see them as freshmen, but, you know, when they're next to the name says freshman, it's kind of shocking to see, but it's awesome to have some good depth and some good competition.
Next, we'll go to Hans Olsen, 97.5 and 1280 in the Zone.
Two guys I've been really excited about, Xavier Carlton and Van Fillinger. I want to know how they've progressed so far through spring coach, and how are you going to divvy up the reps when you've got this much talent?
Man, those two, they hit the ground running this spring, and I've been excited to see the growth between those two. And also, Miki Sungaduranga is also a freshman. It's been years redshirted. Even Blake Keith is a sophomore. And all those guys have been getting a bunch of reps, and I don't feel like, I feel like those guys are all upperclassmen already with the experience and the knowledge that they have. But it's going to be exciting to see. And those, having a bunch of those guys foster good culture and competition. And it's been a good competition this spring.
Hey, just to follow up really quick, Coach, I want to know, what's your favorite aspect of being a collegiate coach?
For me, is seeing the guys excel, having recruiting guys to the program and seeing them get a degree and move on and have a chance to play in the NFL and become good fathers and brothers and just a good person in the community.
Next, we'll go to Cole Bagley of the Daily Utah Chronicle and then back to Trevor Allen.
Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning. Good.
I'm just curious how Devin Cathusi's been performing thus far.
Man, that guy got here last year at 240 pounds, and now he's 295 pounds or 290, right? And he's been awesome. The weird thing is he hasn't lost any of his explosiveness or his athleticism, so he is a force out there. He looks, him and Big V in the middle, are we call them the Twin Towers, right? Being both 6'7" and just being agile and being able to bend and do what we're asking them. We love how he has developed in a short time.
Back to Trevor Allen.
A guy who caught some eyes last year in those five games was Blake Keithy, especially towards the end of the year. How has his progress been from those games last year to going into spring ball?
He started spring ball off great, and he continues to do some good things. And we're just happy that he's going to be able to be playing suit up and knowing what he's been through. And he just continues to get better every single day.
Okay, any other questions for Coach Powell? Okay, we'll go back to Hans Olsen.
Coach, my whole career was spent getting Rob Morris open to make tackles. I'm curious to know, how much is your defense set up to use your defensive line to make it available and open for Devin Lloyd to make plays?
Man, you know, it all depends on the call. Okay, there's times where we got to hold up the big guys up front with the big guys up front and keep our backers free and clean back there to scrape and make tackles. But a lot of times we like to penetrate the line of scrimmage and get through gaps and make a big plays, TFLs and sacks. And we believe that we're a gap defense, and we love to penetrate because we make big plays, and being disruptive back there is also very good. Coach Witt also always says knockback trumps everything. So that's what we are driven to do, is to get knocked back. And if we can get knocked back and penetrate the line of scrimmage, I feel like that's our ideal job. And if we're being disruptive back there, and I feel like the job should be easier for our linebackers and our safeties.
There you go, Lewis Powell addressing the media. I know you had a chance to ask a couple questions in there as well. And excited as, you know, he's been a good addition to the staff, and I think that crew continues to play well too.
Well, of all the position groups that, I don't know, maybe an extra year of eligibility here in the state of Utah, I think that creates a bit of a logjam across that defensive line. You had some draft-eligible guys. You know, I think Mika Tafua and Max Tupai, both draft-eligible guys. Maybe they could have left for the NFL if they wanted to. But then you got a guy like Devin Cathusi on the inside. He and Vianne Moala. I think that Lewis referenced both those guys. Vianne is 6'6", and Cathusi is 6'7". That's going to be your interior.
Yeah.
That's a couple of giant dudes, and if you can get some push and get that exterior pressure, but the problem is there's a bit of a logjam because we've talked about Xavier, and we've talked about Van Feelinger, and we've talked about just the youth movement in general. You've got a lot of talent. I don't know if anybody's going to get a chance to blow up onto the scene like we've seen in past exterior rushers for the University of Utah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It'll be interesting. This spring game is going to be fun to watch. Just to see it, look and see on the outside, see how much rush you're getting from the outsides. I would challenge people to watch those two that I mentioned with Coach Powell.
Yeah.
Van Feilinger and Xavier Carlson.
All right, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hanging out with Tim once again, the owner of RGS Exteriors. And, all right, so, you know, one thing I always love hearing the stories, like, how old were you when you were on a roof for the first time?
Oh, you know, me, probably 13, 14.
Yeah.
But it's funny, my oldest boy, Talmadge, I remember one time we, you know, same thing, family business, right? He's the fifth generation.
Yeah.
And I had him out there help me with Christmas lights one day on my house, and I guess he was probably 7 or 8 or something.
Oh,
he was hanging on the edge doing. I didn't even think anything of it because, you know, he was.
Yeah.
And I had a neighbor come by, drive by, and take a picture. And hey, what are you doing to your kid over there? He's on the roof, and he's like, hey.
This is our family.
It's in his blood. That's what we do. You know, hey, we lived on the roof, and back in the day when we were doing gutters, like everything was done from the roof. So literally, I've spent more time on the roof than sometimes on the ground.
I've heard Talmadge is a heck of a football player.
He is. That kid, if he could get healthy, man. He played – he was a great high school player and then did the mission thing, came home for some surgeries, and as soon as he recovers, the plan is to go back down to Southern Utah, so we'll see.
Good for him. I hope that's the case because he's a baller.
Yeah, he's a good kid, and he's actually working for us. You may see him today, but he works for us. And then my second son, Caden's the other fifth generation, so Caden and Talmadge are the two fifth right now, and legitimately five generations in our family business.
You know, we appreciate you being on here on The Zone and all the support. But you also understand, like, if a job goes poorly, word of mouth will wreck you. And
you know,
and to have five generations of a great, successful business shows the kind of work you do in making sure you get the job done right.
Well, Scott, I think that's a really, really good point. I'm glad you brought that up because, look, I'm going to just tell you. I think Sands even said it earlier, like, with the Larry Miller boys. And Travis Johnson's a good dude, by the way. But same thing, like, we screw up. There's no doubt about it. We mess up. But the difference, I think, between a really good company and a great company – or a generational company, is that you fix it. You make it right. Because it's going to happen. Mistakes are going to happen no matter how good you are. Any contractor that tells you they're not going to make a mistake is flat-out lying to you.
Because you've got employees that you've tried to train, but sometimes they slip through the cracks.
It happens. It, right? Even when I was installing, I felt like I was a really good guy and quality meant more to me than anything. I still messed up. It just happens. But if we fix it, we do it right, that's when you know you're dealing with a good company. And we would not have the kind of word-of-mouth referrals and the repeat business that we have if we were screwing customers.
Yeah.
If we weren't charging them the right price. If we were, you know, and that's the other thing, too. We don't really talk about a lot in here but pricing. You know, how much is this going to cost? You know, it's like the three bears. There's too high, there's too low, and there's just right. And I think the fact that we've been in business for five generations shows you that we charge just right.
Yeah. And that James Hardy, your relationships with James Hardy shows you is a lot based on customer responses too. Isn't it?
It is. Yeah. No. Good point. We're elite preferred contractor. In fact, we're the only elite preferred contractor in Utah's history, and we've got that. A lot of it's because of customers, what they say about us. Because every job, when a job's complete, a survey sent to a customer, and we send it out to them, and that feedback is how Hardy determines who you are.
What is the trendy thing right now? Scotty and I always talk about just the trendy things that are going on in the state. What's kind of the trendy exterior movement right now?
So two things, I think, as I thought about that. We talked a little bit of the last segment, but the commercial becoming residential, so that commercial look coming in, and then I think anything to do with wood. But if we can make it look like wood and not do wood, that's what we want.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where a lot of this Hardy, it's called Wood Tone is the product specifically, if somebody wants to Google that and check that out. But anything you can do to make it look like wood is kind of what everyone's doing right now.
It is kind of funny, though, when you drive into a neighborhood, you're like, all right, that was about 95.
Yep.
That was early 2000s. I mean, but things can change like that, right?
You know, it's just even color. We were talking about the other day in the office. 5 years ago, the absolute top color was like a dark bronze, kind of a blackish but not black color, and like brown. And then a clay. Those were the three most popular colors. Today,
white
and black. Black, literally black gutters. Black gutters, white gutters, soffit face, white and black. Two absolute, not even a question, hands down the two most popular colors. But 5 years ago, it wasn't. So, and who knows what 5 years from now is going to be. Maybe it's going to be fuchsia or salmon or I don't know. I don't know, purple, I don't know.
Whatever Chip and JoJo say it is.
Oh, don't you?
I've seen this copper piping is really popping up around the state.
We do it. We actually do a lot of copper, believe it or not. It's definitely, it's not cheap, but, you know, copper's forever.
It what is that, like a good. French villa? Is that a, what's it an attempt at?
Well, so originally, so a lot of the half round is that, you know, that French, that Victorian style, but you can actually do a half round like gutter system in aluminum or copper and have that still match kind of a more craftsman or even a contemporary type home today. It's half round gutters, by to me, is not even a question, the best way to do. They're the strongest, best lasting gutters, period. And the thing is, you can do them in copper or aluminum, but they are a little bit more expensive than traditional gutters.
All you have to do is, and honestly, so many great opportunities, whether you're looking at rain gutters, siding, whatever the case is, brick, stone, go to rgsutahsiding.com for more information. That's rgsutahsiding.com right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Slow Mo Joe.
The Joe Ingles Show with DJ and PK.
So when you get teed up, does that mean you got to be quiet the rest of the game?
Everyone kept saying, leave him alone, leave him alone. You've already got one. I was like, I'm not leaving him alone because they obviously missed that and it really annoyed me at that time. The best part is that I said to him, I can't wait till you watch it at halftime and you have to come back and tell me that you were wrong. And then he came out at halftime and was like, yeah, my bad. I completely missed that. It cost me $2,500 or whatever it costs for a technical foul these days, but I was frustrated. I'd missed all my shots before that. I was like, I'm about to get a nice, easy layup on Ennis. And then he fouled me and cost me $2,500. Good time. So I'll take my $2,500 and move on. Okay. I got my money's worth, though. I definitely got my money's worth.
Oh, yeah.
Catch Jazzman Joe Ingles with DJ and PK every Thursday morning on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Time for your good, the bad, and the ugly, all brought to you by Zero Res. You need to get those carpets cleaned? Well, guess what? $33 per room as you transition into spring and summer. You got all that dirt and gunk coming in from the snow. Get it taken care of right now. 801-288-9376. That's 801-288-9376.
Well, Scotty, we were just a couple of outs away from seeing a perfect game pitched in Major League Baseball. Yeah. So you didn't get the perfect game.
You got the no-no.
You got the no-no, but not the perfect game because a slider got a little too low and a little too far outside and hit the foot of one of the batters that sent him to first place, or first base. But left-hander, Carlos Rodon, threw a no-no for the White Sox yesterday, and he's 28 years old. He threw a total of 114 pitches in a complete game, Scotty, to get the no-hitter. And I thought this was interesting. Here's your breakdown. Oh, by the way, I wanted to mention this, and I saw this. I can't remember. Somebody was talking about it this morning. The final pitch that he threw out of 114, the very last pitch he threw, was 98.8 miles per hour, which was faster than any fastball he's thrown since 2016.
Dude was a little amped up.
Those juices were flowing near the end of the game.
Those juices were flowing. He felt the no-hitter. He knew what he was on the edge of, and he threw out this 98.8 mile-per-hour fastball. Here's the breakdown of the pitches. 57 four-seam fastballs. Lloyd, what's a four-seam fastball? Is there a difference between
It's all about the grip.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just about the grip.
So 57 four-seam fastballs, 28 sliders, 26 change-ups, and only 3 curveballs. And it was one of the sliders that ruined his
ruined his
perfect game. But pretty fun to watch these guys throw a no-hitter. It's the second no-hitter in Major League Baseball this season because we just saw Musgrove did it 3 or 4 days ago for the Padres. And that was the first one the Padres had, I believe, in their franchise history. So, cool stuff going on in Major League Baseball. By the way, this is Tony La Russa's, I think it's his 4th total, because he's the first manager to have 2 no-hitters in the AL and 2 no-hitters in the NL. And so he's been a part of 4 no-hitters which I think is the most in manager history in Major League Baseball.
There's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
All right, this is a story that I think you will probably see either a documentary or a full-fledged just movie about on Netflix coming up here soon, because this is as weird and bizarre and gruesome of a story as you'll ever hear. There is a high school basketball coach in North Carolina. His name is Barney Harris. Worked as a coach and a teacher at Union Academy in Monroe, North Carolina. That was his day job. At night, though, he was part of a criminal organization apparently the Mexican cartel had come in and established some bases there in this town in North Carolina. Well, he and this group of people didn't like it, so they were trying to root out this Mexican cartel.
Some safe houses and stash houses.
Yes. Uh-huh. Have you seen this story?
Yeah. I got it in roulette, but I love that you've got this going, because this thing is unbelievable.
So Barney Harris and this criminal organization that tried to root out all these people, but not do it in a particularly nonviolent way, goes into a trailer park area, a mobile park home, on April 8th to clean out this stash house. They were stealing the drugs and the money. As they entered the stash house, they captured one of the cartel members. His name was Alfonso Lara, and they tied him up and they shot him. They killed him, execution style.
Yep.
So this is not a friendly neighborhood watch program. They're out for blood. Well, another cartel member enters the home. A gun battle breaks out. According to the county sheriff, Terry Johnson, said it looked like an old Western shootout. And this high school teacher and coach was killed in the middle of this shootout. Was wearing Kevlar vests, but apparently the ammunition that was used by the cartel tore right through it and killed him.
This cartel member that stepped onto the scene in that moment, he was – not only was he a better gunman, the guy was just loaded to the gills with the right weapons.
Yeah.
And took them both down.
And so with that, you got a member of this community who was probably well thought of as a coach and a teacher, part of a organization. And I got to imagine this is not going to end well. In fact, the story says there's going to be more people that are going to die because of this story. Because of this event.
Yeah, because then the cops came in and they seized what that group was trying to seize. And I can't remember, it was a certain amount of cocaine, like $7,000 cash, five high-powered weapons, and everything you would need to hold down a fort for a while. It is one of the crazier stories I've seen. All of this in North Carolina. And from what I understand, kind of a rural area in North Carolina, right?
Monroe, North Carolina.
In a little trailer park.
Yeah.
The cartel had decided they were going to hunker down in a little trailer park. I just can't imagine, man. I can't even bring myself to think about that. Like, you're that.
I'm just trying to think.
You're that involved. And he was the track coach. He was the basketball coach. He was Mr. Everything for this prep school. He was like the most beloved member of this community. And at night he was trying to take down cartels, and not in a friendly way.
Not in a friendly way. Again, they shot this dude execution style, like two to the head.
Alfonso.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we want to put up on this pedestal, and I like, you know, like, hey, we don't want this part of our community. Let's do our best to get rid of it. But this might not have been the best way to handle it, and eventually it cost him his life.
Could you imagine getting a call from me, and I'm like, hey, Scotty, meet me. We're going to meet at the Mav at 7 at 4:30 in the morning, and got a little trailer park out in West Valley. We're gonna go take some people down. Like, that is just bizarre, that conversation to be had.
Like, hands, I'm tired, go back to bed, man. This is, you got a weird dream, because you called me at all hours with some weird stuff.
I know I never know what's on my mind. I'll never call you for that though, buddy.
Well, hey, you know what? I'm there for you.
If there's a cartel that needs to be taken down, though, I'm calling you and Lloyd.
Yeah, because if there's anything that's going to strike fear in the cartel, it's going to be me and Lloyd.
We can grind them up in the snowblower.
It's one way to get rid of them, huh?
No wow. wood chipper. It's the, it's, yeah. All right, Hans and Scotty, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
I know people are probably thinking, wait a second, that was the bad, and there's something that's uglier than this? And yeah, this is uglier than that. You remember Al Toon?
Yes.
With the Jets?
Great wide receiver.
Fantastic football player. And that was right in our heyday of watching yep. football, too, Scotty.
I think when we did a year ago and we were doing the football cards, we had a couple Al Toons pop up.
Yes, we did. Well, his daughter was a star volleyball player in Scottsdale, Arizona. Like, I guess, what absolute star in the world of volleyball. And Scottsdale Police Department in Arizona said that around 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday, officers responded to a call of a shooting at a residence in East Scottsdale. And it was, in fact, Al Toon's daughter. Cops say that when they arrived, they saw 28-year-old Molly Toon, Elizabeth Lillard, suffering from multiple gunshot wounds. They tried to rush her to the hospital, and she passed away from her injuries. They quickly learned that it was her husband, 36-year-old Royce Dale Lillard, who fired the shots. They knew where he was. They surrounded the place. They held it down for a long time, didn't hear anything inside. Finally broke in at about 10:45 p.m., roughly about 5 hours after responding to the scene. And they found him with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. A murder-suicide, and it just happened to be Al Toon's daughter, a fantastic volleyball player. And I don't know, man, it's bizarre to me that these things happen. It's horrifying, especially when it's a star like Al Toon, a guy that I will never forget watching that guy play football. And here he is. He's got this daughter that he's raised to be 28 years old. Gets in a bad situation. Don't know what happened between her and her husband. But the ultimate worst outcome possible.
God, that's just sickening.
That's sickening, man. It is sickening. I don't know. That's probably the worst bad and ugly that we've had. The combined nature of the bad.
Yeah, ugly. Yeah.
Can you think of a worse?
Nope.
You know, I think maybe tomorrow for a Friday.
We got to do a good, better, best.
A little good, better, best. Let's. How about we level this thing out a little bit?
Yeah, because, man, that's a real downer.
We've had enough of this.
Although the high school coach thing, to me, I mean, because no connection here, that was just a, holy smokes, they're going to make a movie out of this.
That will be a movie. It has to be.
That's like Breaking Bad on steroids.
A coach is like,
How far are you on Breaking Bad?
Oh, Lloyd, we got to talk about Breaking Bad.
It's so good, dude. It sounds like you're hooked.
I am so okay. Now look, I just barely started season two, and I understand. Like I know spoilers are going to be out there, so I understand. I'm not going to bang on anybody for giving me any spoilers. But is Marie like the sister-in-law? Is she like the most annoying character on the planet, in the history of TV?
I will just tell you it. Doesn't ever stop.
Wait, what? Who, what?
Like,
it never ends.
Walter White, his sister-in-law, Marie, the kleptomaniac.
Oh.
She's got to be the most annoying character in the history of television.
Oh.
And you know what? Who I actually like, who you're probably not supposed to like, is Hank. Like, the cop, the DEA agent.
No, you're supposed to, I think you're supposed to like him. You're okay to like him.
Okay. Well,
yeah, well, I like Hank.
I only watched like 3 or 4 episodes in that, and the only one that I liked in that show was Sky.
Oh, really? Because I don't really like her much either.
Like, she was the only one that I was like, all right, yeah, she's cool.
She's okay, right? She's okay at the first, but then she gets a little hard to deal with.
What, because she finds out her husband's baking meth and is like, you gotta
she's
stop
doing it for
that.
Him. Or he's doing it for her.
Yeah.
For the family.
I get that, but it doesn't matter. You're baking meth.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that it's right.
It's not right.
The reasons for doing it were altruistic.
Honey, I'm going out to kill the cartel. Why? I'm doing it for you, okay?
And she should be happy about that.
For you.
How about you just say thanks and let me get to my oven?
I'll be back with seven grand.
Let me get to my RV. How about you just... say thank you. Let me get to my RV and cook.
I started a series last night.
Oh yeah?
Yes, I did.
What are you going with?
It's the series with James Gandolfini.
The Sopranos?
The Sopranos.
And I thought I was behind the times.
I started The Sopranos last
night. Oh, dude, you're going to love The Sopranos.
You will love it.
I laughed my butt off at him and his relationship with those ducks.
Oh, yeah.
That came and had a little family in his pool. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
Dude loves the ducks. And he's sitting there with the lady, and he starts crying. He's like, those damn ducks. Can't believe I'm crying.
I love The Sopranos so much. Such a good show.
It's kind of an interesting start.
I can't wait for you to see the ending.
Is that a long ways away? How many seasons am I going
to? Probably, what, 7 or 8 seasons maybe?
Yeah, you know, it's a few. You got a ways.
You know, I've been watching Little House on the Prairie.
Okay.
We started 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And we're like on season 7 now. It's
out of like 22.
14, I think.
Like Half Pint was like 37 when they shut that thing down.
Couldn't even get her to move out on her own.
I keep telling Rock. We are in the Merlin times, though. I think he came on like season 4, and I think he's there till like season 28 or something. I don't know. He's there for a long time.
Good for him.
Keep telling Rock. I'm like, wait till you see the finish on this one, man.
I wonder if the family is still getting residuals on that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. Well, I know they were, because for a while it was like TNT was replaying it, or there was a while that like there were some actual substantial channels that were replaying.
So there was who was the guy that played the son on the Cosby Show? Theo. The guy that played Theo, man, he was ticked off on the
residuals.
Yeah, because all of a sudden Cosby gets himself in all this trouble and ends up going to jail, and all the networks pull the Cosby Show.
Of course they're
going to
pull that
show.
They're
like, we can't air that stuff anymore. And meanwhile, Theo's like, hey,
How am I supposed to make rent over here?
It's not like I got all these acting gigs lining up for me.
You know what's crazy is I was watching a Little House on the Prairie episode, and there's Johnny Cash and June Cash, a full episode, all about Johnny Cash and June Cash, but
really?
not playing themselves. Yeah. They were just a westbound couple that was caught in a mess in their home. I don't want to give any spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
Spoilers from the 60s.
It's not the 60s.
That's close enough.
Oh. Hans and Scotty coming up next. Whole World News straight ahead right here on the Zone Sports Network.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Our friend Dirk Facer on with us, spring ball wrapping up with Utah. How open is the quarterback competition going to be in fall camp?
It really depends on Cam Rising's health. If he's not good to go with that shoulder, then I don't think there's a competition at all. Just like spring ball, Charlie Brewer's getting most of the reps. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens this fall based on Rising's health. They're saying right now it's going to be an open competition. You know, in this world of Zoom conferences and not being able to watch practice, I guess we've got to take them at their word. It's an open competition, but the Brewers statistics have got a great insurance policy there.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It is time for another edition of Whole World News. Where are we going today?
Well, first of all, Whole World News, big thank you to Elite Works and their amazing sponsorship. Guys, if you need a new rebuilt website, if you've got a website but you need it to function better, maybe you need a CRM or an opportunity to sell things or buy things through your website or run your payroll, you can do it all through EliteWorks software. And they will rebuild your site for free. Call them 844-523-2777.
Call right now. If your website stinks, these guys will get it taken care of for you.
They will. They'll fix it up. Well, Scotty, do you want to hear about an alligator that had a pallet for dogs? Or do you want to hear about a woman that took advantage of a bank's big-time blunder?
Let's go with the alligator.
Well, there was this crazy mysterious disappearance of multiple hunting dogs. I'm talking about 14, 15 hunting dogs. And on just this last Thursday, there was a man that hauled in a 12-foot alligator in South Carolina, and he brought it into a wild game meat plant because he was going to process the meat. He wants it to throw on the grill. Well, they opened up this massive...
Have you had alligator before?
Yeah, a couple times.
Good?
No. No, I don't like it at all.
It sounds like it'd be really...
it's greasy.
Greasy, oily. Yeah.
It is. It's very oily.
Yeah.
And it's dry. And I don't know if you can cook it to not be dry. I've had alligator probably 3 or 4 times. And every time I'm like, why are you cooking this?
Yeah.
It's a reptile. Don't eat it. Well, when they opened up its stomach, they found 5 dog collars that... 5 dog collars that were yet to be moved through his track. So they don't know in total how many he took down. They also found a Kevlar jacket.
What?
They found a spark plug. They found 15 or 20 turtle shells. And they also found a set of bobcat claws. So this guy got a bunch of turtles. He got down a couple bobcats, at least 5 hunting dogs that they still had the collars that they could read the names and call the numbers that were on the collars.
They get like a DEA agent too, or what? Where's the Kevlar thing?
They don't know. They don't know where the Kevlar vest came from.
I'm a little concerned about that one.
That would concern me as well.
Like I feel bad for Fido, but I'm a little concerned about that Kevlar jacket.
Like you might want to research that one.
Yeah.
If you had somebody go missing a while ago, 445-pound alligator. He was killed on private land by a guy named Ned McNeely. And not only is he going to eat the meat.
Ned?
Needle nose Ned?
He's going to have a life-size mount of this alligator. So
I don't know if, like, okay, so this thing has digested a lot of stuff. Like, it sounds like the meat you're going to be eating from this alligator is like 20% canine.
5% DEA agent.
Yeah, it sounds like the cartel fed somebody to this alligator.
Yeah.
2% bobcat. Like, this is what you want in your alligator meat?
Yeah, I'm a hard pass on that. Like, I get the whole, like, you're going to want to get that life-size mount of that alligator and taxidermy the heck out of that thing. I get that.
It's 12 feet. Just over 12 feet. 445-pound dude. Would you want that in your house? I mean, picture 12 feet.
I would find a place for that. A big old alligator looking all gnarly with its jaws open, ready to clamp down on you.
You'd have his jaws like partially open?
As angry looking as possible.
Do you have him like whipping around with his tail?
Yeah, just as nasty and as aggressive as you can possibly make that thing.
Would you then mount a hunting dog with a collar and put it in its mouth?
Right there in the middle of it, yeah. Chomping down.
I don't know, man. Like, I see a lot of animal mounts, and I...
And I'm not pro that, by the way.
I'm not much of an animal mount.
Something about an alligator makes me think that'd be kind of fun to have.
If you could have any animal mounted in your house.
I don't know. Probably that alligator.
It'd be an alligator?
Yeah. I had a buddy of mine. He used to work with us, and was one of our sales guys. Big hunter. And he had wanted to get a bear forever. And have it taxidermied and put in his house. And he was so excited to get it done. And so he finally got his bear, shot himself a bear, and loaded it up. And the guy that did the taxidermy just made it look like...
Oh, he jacked
just,
it up.
Just awful. Just do, wrecked it.
Do you follow Terrible Taxidermy on Twitter?
Yes.
Yeah. The taxidermists can mess things up, and you're just like, are you sure that was a bear?
Yeah. This thing, he goes... He made it look like he was smiling almost.
Was that a bear, or was that one of the backwoodsmen from Deliverance?
He was so mad. It's more like Yogi Bear than an actual bear.
It's a cartoon bear?
Yeah.
Like he got it at Build-A-Bear? You could have filled a cloth bear with stuffing that looked more ferocious.
So funny.
I don't know. I do know people love animal mounts. I think if I had one animal that I could mount, I'd probably be like some type of trophy fish that I was able to pull out of the water. That'd be about the only thing I'd throw up on my wall.
Yeah.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network as we are live here at RGS Exteriors. Whatever you want your house to look like, whether you need the siding, whether you need the stone, whether you need paint, whatever you need it to do, Tim, you guys are going to help make it happen.
Everything but mounts. We don't do mounts.
No mounts.
We're not going to mount it. The only thing I got in my house is an elk, and that's it.
So you had it mounted?
I did. I got an
nice.
Elk. I got an elk mounted. My wife fought me on it forever. She did not want anything to do with it.
Is it shoulder up? Is it bust?
No, just shoulder up. Just
okay.
Above the shoulder.
Okay.
She wanted nothing to do with
it. She doesn't like it?
No. She hated it.
The boys like it, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I got to get my boy one this year so we can do that.
Oh, you got the tag?
We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, you're working on the tag?
We're working on
tags can be tough to come by.
But anyway, yes, but back to the houses. Anything to do on the house, that's what we're here for, right? I mean, I'm certainly not on the inside, but anything on the outside, we want to make it, update it. And gutters, gutter covers, that's one thing we haven't talked about today is that, you know, starting to get out spring, you get out there and make sure the gutters are working, but they might be plugged with debris and leaves. Let us go up and put some covers on them and make it so you don't have to clean them again.
We've talked about this a lot because I've got a lot of foliage around my house. And those rain gutters get filled up really quickly. And I've talked to you about this, and you've mentioned, look, if you do it right and you get the right product and it's installed right, those rain gutter covers can be awesome. But if you get the wrong product and it's not installed correctly, it could do way more damage to your house.
Yeah, unfortunately, it can damage the roof so bad. If you don't have it installed correctly, you can damage the shingles. You get some ice weight sitting on those covers that pushes them down, and then the back end, it comes up and hits the edge of the shingle and curls it up. So you can definitely do some damage. So that's the last thing we want to do. So what we try to do is just come out, see what kind of cover is going to work best, and put it on. And truthfully, if you do it right, you never have to clean your gutters ever again. And that's kind of the goal, and that's what we want to do.
I want you to help people understand how you can help them design the exterior look of their home. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there with a vision of what they want, but you can actually put that vision to paper or to computer.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It's something that really kind of separates us from everybody else in our industry is that we have some software that we can come out, take a picture of your home, and literally throw the different products on your home, the different types of siding, stone. You know, maybe you want to look at white stone or a blue stone, whatever it is. You just change the color, and just with a click of a button, we can change it and sit in front of you and kind of design the home and get what, you know, have it look how you want it to do. And so that, because look, a full exterior is not a small investment. It's not something that you want to take lightly. You want to do it right. You want to make sure that you're doing the research and the sales reps can come out and help you go through that whole process with you. Make it as painless as possible. Mm. You know, that's something else that we don't talk enough about is that not only is it hard enough to spend the money to go through a construction project, but, man, it can be stressful. You know, right? You know, what do they
horrible.
Say? That that's what causes divorces quicker than anything
horrible.
Is a remodel or a new home. So what we want to do is try to take that stress out of you. And when the estimators or sales guys come out, they walk you through the whole process and make it a stress, free process. And we want not only the end product to be good, but the whole entire process from the time you call us and when our gals answer the phone to the time we walk and do a final job and you hand us the check that you're happy through that whole process.
All you have to do is and check it out, and you owe it to yourself to get the information you need to know exactly what they can do to help you out. Go to rgsutahsiding.com, rgsutahsiding.com. Whatever you need to do to the outside of your house, they can help make it happen for you right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.